Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back for another episode. I hope you've been following this series and that you are getting a lot out of it. I'm taking some baby steps, so today we're going to weave a few pieces together. Again, we are talking about dark days. You know, a lot of people suffer with anxiety or depression or some kind of a psychological distress or problem. And so often we just think the only solution is to go to a therapist and to perhaps, if your condition is severe enough, get on to some medication. And I'm here to promote an alternative approach that if you've been following the first 3 weeks, we have been building upon. And today we are going to go a little bit deeper. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first parts, I invite you to go back and listen to the first 3 parts on dark days, and then you'll be all caught up. But today you won't be lost if you're just tuning in for the first time. So if you like what you're hearing, go back and get some background to make sense of some of the pieces that we're using. But stay with us and see if this philosophical approach doesn't actually lend itself to something really transforming. And that's my hope and prayer for you. So let's begin. Dark Days, Chapter 4. This is called the story that we believe. The story that we believe. You see, as I shared last week, it's really unlikely that we will overcome our dark days, our battle with depression or anxiety or other kinds of issues. We're not going to really get around those without altering our brain chemistry. And I showed you that through a number of different ways, but I don't want you to confuse that last statement with that meaning that we have to take prescription drugs. Excuse me. You see, a lot of America thinks that if you have a problem, you take a pill. And that's not the case. Did you realize that America only comprises less than 5% of the world's population, but it consumes 75% of the world's pharmaceuticals? Now, I'm just going to let that statistic sink in for a minute. We're less than 5% of the population, but we consume over 75% of our pharmaceuticals. And, you know, Big Pharma does, in fact, own direct-to-consumer marketing. Go on TV. How many commercials are for a drug to make you feel better? Psychiatric drugs have some of the largest prescription rates and the largest profit, with more than 1,000% markup in many cases. Is that interesting to you? Well, they must be effective then, right? Look, I'm not here to shoot them down, although I do have my biases. But I do believe that there is a time and a place for some of these medications, but clearly America is over-prescribing medications. We over-prescribe like it's nobody's business. Now, the question then is, what are the other options that we can do that will actually change our brain chemicals, our brain chemistry, right? If you've followed the series so far, you know, you come to this place where something happens, something bad happens, something depressing or stressful, hurtful, and it alters our brain chemistry. And then we kind of relive it. As we sort through it, the chemistry changes. If it's of a period long enough, it can actually cause our brains to rewire itself. We find ourselves in a consistent funk. And the idea is you add some brain chemicals there If you are a depressed brain, then you need chemicals to change that. And that's exactly what happens. However, there's another way around this. And this is what we want to talk about today, because this is going to blow you away. What are the other options for changing our brain chemistry? Did you know that according to the Institute of Brain Potential, Dr. Martin Antony, who I did go and see and listen at a talk, he's from Ryerson University, and he shared a number of alternative treatments that had an equal effect on brain chemistry. And, you know, drugs like Abilify, Paxil, Zoloft, Prozac, Celexa, Luvex. I mean, these are all mood-altering drugs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and other kinds of drugs. And in one study, these medications only provided a 2 to 3% benefit to the patient compared to a placebo. Now, I want you to think about that. Taking a medication only provided a 2 to 3% benefit. And actually in the study, that was 12 weeks out. Up until the 11th week, it was almost exactly the same as placebo. So it took, you know, of course it took 12 weeks. Why? Because it took that long for the brain chemistry to rewire itself. But during that time, it didn't provide as much or any better benefit to the person. Now think about that. We put a lot of faith in these kinds of drugs to change things. Now, if you're on one of these drugs, do not go and just take yourself off of it. Doing that can be absolutely disastrous. It could cause suicidal ideation. It could cause all kinds of disruption. It could make your condition worse off than it was before. Now, in another study, they looked at what other things could provide a benefit of 2 to 3%. Well, of course, alternative options for therapy, for brain chemical changing therapies provided a 3% benefit with no side effects. Many of the people on these drugs report side effects of drowsiness, blasé. They're not happy. They're not sad. They just feel numb, very disconnected, hard, very trouble thinking, just very, very unhappy. Now, that might be an improvement over severe depression, but, you know, let's think about this. Alternatives provide greater than 3% benefit with no side effects. The drugs provided a 2 to 3% benefit after 12 weeks. Now, this is because many things change our brain chemicals. Everything changes our brain chemicals. Things like sleep. You get very little sleep, you have a change in your brain chemicals. If your diet is all processed foods and you don't eat any green vegetables, you don't drink a lot of water, if you drink a bunch of soda pop, you are altering your brain chemicals, not just sugar, but brain chemicals. If you don't have bio-nutrients and micronutrients and all the minerals that are important, music changes our brain chemicals. It can slow them down, it can speed them up and excite them. Meditation has been proven many, many times to change our brain chemistry. So does reading. All kinds of spiritual practice, singing, exercise. Exercise is one of those things that dramatically changes your brain chemistry, and it does it within a half an hour. You go out, you have a nice walk, and come back, and your brain chemicals are different than when you left. Things like acupuncture, massage, go on a roller coaster, for crying out loud. That will change your brain chemistry. You ever see how people are waiting in line and they're bored to death? And then when they get off the roller coaster, they're jumping and flailing around. It's a change in brain chemicals. Sex will absolutely change your brain chemicals. If you're married, you have someone you love, go and have sex. That'll make you feel better. Usually does for me. Now, there's something that really changes our brain chemistry that we're going to focus on that we don't really think about, and that is our story. You see, it's the story that we tell ourselves. But I just listed off a bunch of things that have a greater benefit than harsh pharmaceuticals. There are things you can pick up and do and try right now. You can use them as a menu and kind of use them to complement your present therapy if you're on drugs. Or you can use them and mix and match to see how they affect you and change your life. These will help you. But it's not just that easy. You see, we have to get behind the chemicals a little bit. There's a guy named Dr. Rick Hansen. He describes what's called negative bias. That's just when a negative story or message or experience imprints chemicals on the brain like Velcro. And that's just because negative experiences provide a lot of brain activity. And as such, those neurotransmitters are flooding into your brain and they imprint on us. Whereas positive stories or experiences, they imprint slower on us and not as easily. So it takes several positive experiences to overrun one negative experience. And this is just simple brain science and common discoveries that are coming out. But since the brain causes consciousness, as we talked about last week, and consciousness forms our brain, so it's not either or, it's both, then we have to go beyond the brain chemicals to learn what's causing them. You see, it's not enough just to say I need a chemical in my brain to feel better, because of course we know that. People would go out and get drunk or they use drugs or whatever just to alter their brain chemistry. We need to know what changes our brain chemicals inside of us. And that's where consciousness actually transforms the brain. And this is where our story becomes increasingly important. Now, it seems like we can't change some things. Now, consider this. There are two aspects to nearly every problem. Now, one of those aspects is the externals, and the other is the internals. Now, we cannot control everything that happens to us. This is why I say the externals, the things that happen to us from the outside in, that could be bad news. You get laid off. You get hurt in a relationship. You have a tragedy happen in your family. Any of these things can knock the knees right out of you and put you into a place of depression and sorrow and loss and tragedy and despair. And that will greatly impact your negative brain chemicals. You can't control that. That's going to happen. But it's going to happen to all of us at some point. Pain and suffering touches everyone. Now, we can control the internals, though. And even though it doesn't seem like it, we can control those internals that influence it. And the biggest internal that we can control is our story. And I'm calling it a story, but it's our relationship to the truth. It's our life narrative. Our internal story either works as a counterbalance to the negative externals that we experience, or it exacerbates them and creates a kind of feedback loop. So anxiety and depression are actually feedback loops that raise the intensity and in duration. They do that in direct proportion to our truth story. Thus, if we can change the story, anxiety and depression diminish accordingly. Now, did that make sense to you? I mean, you've got the outsides that you can't do anything about, and you've got the inside that you can. And this is why some people are so effective in life when they go through tragedy and suffering. They're very resilient. It's because of the story that they tell themselves and the story that they believe is true. This is how people go to a religious service, have what they believe is a huge conversion, and then from that day on, they quit using drugs. They make huge life transformations that last for a lifetime. It's amazing. Why? Because they have a new story that is completely a counterbalance to all of the things that have happened before. But that's not the only way that that happens. So positive stories, though, it's not as easy as just, you know, positive affirmations. You can't just say, you know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. Like the Stuart Smalley of Saturday Night Live years and years ago. You have to go deeper. This is about your core truth narrative. And trust me, when you first start this off, telling yourself a positive story, it may not even be believable, right? If you're having an anxiety attack and you try and talk yourself down by trying to convince yourself that the thing you're afraid of isn't real, like if I were to drive through a tunnel and I'm convinced it's going to collapse on me, or a bridge is going to collapse, or if I'm convinced that I'm going to pass out and have a huge fiery accident in the middle and kill all these people, the chances of that are very, very small. So it's not about just telling myself a positive story like, oh, you're not going to do that. That's not going to happen. It's impossible for this mountain to collapse onto the bridge or up, you know, or whatever. It's not that easy. The positive stories are not that believable at first. Why? Because they don't imprint on us that well. So we have to go to something deeper. So we have to get beyond the chemicals. We have to get to the story. And then we have to get beyond the story into the truth narrative. And that's the core truth, the thing that we're deeply believing. You have to get there, or else it will never work as a counterbalance. It will simply create a feedback loop that goes along with the negative externals. Does that make sense? Okay, so therefore, overcoming our dark days requires a pretty powerful and a frequent story. And it has to contain more truth than what we are presently possessing. Now, this is going to kick off a powerful lesson, which is emerging right here. And that is this. Problems like depression and anxiety, problems of our dark days, they are indicators we have outgrown our formative truth container, our truth story, our narrative. You see, we have reached the ceiling of the truth that we already possess. And if we are to get out of it and get beyond it, we have to have wider experience and proximity to the truth. And if we don't have that, we might be able to tell ourselves a story, but soon we won't believe that story anymore, and we will relapse back into our funk. So, this begs the question, where and how can we possess that kind of truth? And that will be the subject of our next lesson. I hope you'll come back. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.